Iraqis fired guns into the air on Tuesday night to celebrate the deaths of Uday and Qusay Hussein. The elder sons of Saddam Hussein were notoriously cruel, dreaded, and roundly hated. The phenomenon of an odious dictator having even more odious children is a story that predates modern Iraq, stretching back to at least ancient times. Elaine Vantham speaks to us about the ancients. She's Weekend Edition's classics commentator, and she joins us from the studios of the CBC in Toronto. Elaine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Linda.
Well, some of the most infamous second-generation monsters are folks like Caligula or Nero, but I understand that you think you could go back even earlier for a really bad actor, Tarquin the Proud.
Oh, yes. He was the Romans' model tyrant. But what really precipitated the end of the domination of Tarquin and the Etruscan kings was his son Sextus, rightly named Sextus Tarquinius, who is notorious for having raped the totally virtuous Lucretia. And this is the sort of charter myth which precipitated the unanimous revolt of the Roman nobles and people and the setting up of the free republic and the end of the monarchy.
Now, the Greeks also had their fair share of children behaving badly.
Yes, and there's a beautiful symmetry between the tyranny story at Rome that I've just mentioned and the sons of the tyrant Pisistratus in Athens. Pisistratus had two sons that I think of as Tweedledum and Tweedledee, Hippias and Hipparchus, and it was the lustful attempts of one of his sons upon the boy beloved of a nobleman that precipitated the Athenian Revolution.
The Greeks dealt with tyranny philosophically as well. I'm thinking of Plato, who had a lot of things to say about tyranny in the Republic. He said something about the roots of tyranny being that the tyrant begins as a protector of the people.
Yes, the sad thing is, if you look at ancient or modern tyrannical leaders, they normally have been put there either by the people or perhaps more often by the army in the hope of reforming a bad situation. And Plato, when he talked about the appalling condition of the tyrant's soul, victim as it was of all these undisciplined lusts, and the appalling condition of the society run by a tyrant, he knew quite a lot about it because he had visited the great city of Syracuse under the tyrant Dionysius and seen what his rule was like. It ended up, in fact, with the son of the tyrant, now ruling Syracuse, having Plato sold as a slave.
Dear God. This business of the children of tyrants, do you think this is just something that sort of has to happen there? It's an inevitable progression from bad to worse?
I don't know. It may be simply the consequence of them being only associated with people who say yes to them, with flatterers and servants, and no one who will tell them honestly that they're destroying themselves. But if you go back for a moment to Nero, since he's kind of everybody's bête noire, including mine, he had very, very good, very moral and very practical advice, both from his chief military officer, Burrus, and the philosopher Seneca. But all it did was to hold him back for 5 years before his real lack of self-control and lusts and cruelty manifested themselves. So it was too late, apparently, to set him on a better path.
Elaine, thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Elaine Vantham is Professor Emerita of Classics at Princeton University and Weekend Edition's Classics Commentator.